I'm not very good with technology. It may have only one button, but I may not know where it is. Two brothers naming their cattle ranch had trouble deciding on a name. Finally, in desperation, they asked their mother, and she said, "Oh, that's easy, sons. Name it Focus." And they said, "Mother, why should we call it Focus?" And she said, "Because it's where the sun's rays meet." M-E-A-T. Where the sun's rays meet. Focus. Are you still with me? Anyhow. Okay, try to get lined up with Mike here. Can you hear me? Is that better? Okay. The title of my message this morning is Going Home, Heading for Heaven. As a child, I remember hearing these words sung on a children's radio program. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be, by George Jones. And so it is, and I'm sure it's a home beyond majestic description. But heaven is not just a place. It's about being with a person, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's where God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwell. Someday, we who are known and who know Christ as our personal Savior will be with Him. We'll see the Lord Jesus face to face, and we will be with those that we love once more. This summer, we've said goodbye to a number of good friends. I mean, an incredible number, that have gone on to glory. We said goodbye to Evan Roberts. We said goodbye to Lawrence Brown. We said goodbye to Elaine Kuschmarski. We said goodbye to Fred Woodcock, to Mike Yorkowicz. And now we said goodbye to Janet McDougall. So, going home. It's really a thing that's been on our minds this summer. There's another hymn that's written for old folks like myself. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. On the way to the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem, Jesus was actually telling his disciples that he was going to leave them. He was going away. Jesus knew that he was on his way to the cross. He was going to suffer and bleed and die. He would pay the ultimate price. Christ's own blood would be the currency of heaven, to reclaim us, to pay the ransomed amount for our redemption. It's amazing, isn't it? He went to the cross to secure for us the forgiveness of our sins from a holy God. And when Jesus told his disciples he was going away, they, of course, were sad. Peter immediately said that he was willing to lay down his life with Jesus and for Jesus. But Jesus, knowing all things in advance, told him, "You will disown me three times before the rooster crows." And so it happened. Peter wasn't so brave as he thought, and neither are we. Going home, heading home, our real home? Where is your permanent secure address? Let's read John chapter 14, 1 through 6. It's a very familiar passage. So turn with me to John chapter 14. And as you know, half of the New Testament was written about Jesus. Half of the Gospels, I should say, was written about Jesus during the last week of his life. And this is one of the chapters, and this is one of the instruction time that he had with his disciples. And so he's preparing them for his going away. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know." And Thomas, doubting Thomas, said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father. And from now on, you will know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that would be sufficient." Let's just pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we have said goodbye to people during the summer in an incredible rate. But Father, we thank you that they have only changed their address. In fact, they are much more alive than they've ever been. They are enjoying your presence, which is amazing, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so they're with you, Lord. They're not only enjoying being with you, Lord, they're enjoying being with those that have gone on before, those that we have said goodbye to over the many years. So, Lord, we pray as we look into your word, help us to, in reality, look up and yet be much in touch with those around about us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So for 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus has been preparing a place for you, for me. We spent some time building a new home on Vancouver Island. Thought we'd be there probably for a long time. Thought it was kind of our dream home. But we were only there until we finished it. And then we came back here, back home. Sometimes building is a wonderful thing, and we enjoyed doing that. My wife is quite artistic and drew up the plans, made this home the kind of house that she wanted it. She put in twice as many electrical outlets. So it was really nice. And it had an island. Our old house didn't. But Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years. The incredible carpenter from Nazareth, the Lord Jesus. Think of it. And yet, for us, we're not home yet. Are we? We're looking forward to that home. President Teddy Roosevelt was returning from an African safari, a hunting trip. Red carpet was rolled out. The band was playing, and a great crowd was waiting and cheering as the president stepped off and came ashore. And on that same boat was a missionary who had faithfully served the Lord, risking his life with danger and disease to tell people of the gospel of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God, the Heavenly Father. No one showed up to greet this great man of God. He felt all alone. But as he looked over the plank of the boat, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, saying, "But you're not home yet." No, he wasn't. Jesus was still waiting, and there was glory on ahead. Is that what you're looking forward to? There's another hymn that goes like this. It's a great song for us country and Western people. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh, Lord, what will I do?" And yes, this world is a mess, isn't it? I mean, it is really a mess. An unbelievable mess. But where are we headed? Are we headed home to Jesus? To that prepared place? To that preferred place, hopefully. A preferred place to enjoy eternal life with Jesus Christ forever. Or to be separated forever from him. What's ahead? Though heaven is beyond description, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him." If God can't describe in our language what heaven is like, what will it be like? It must be amazing. Many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress and some of the distractions that Pilgrim had on his way to the celestial city. There are physical storms and distractions, unbelievable stress, difficulties. Think of the difficulties of our brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters, and other people that don't know the Lord must be beyond description. When we think of the storm that the people in the Bahamas just faced, must be unbelievable to live through such a storm. And yes, there are tests on the way. We face sickness. We may face loss, financial loss, and yet this earth is not our final home. In Matthew 24 and verse 1 through 8, I'd like to turn to that. We can't possibly look at all the things that God has prepared for us, but he's promised to come back. When you turn to that, I'm going to tell you one of our stories, the story of coming home. After living for 4 years in Central Butte, Saskatchewan, while going to Briarcrest Bible College, we were invited to come back to this church, this assembly, the Westlock Gospel Chapel. It was a memorial move. You may have experienced just such a move. I'm sure that many of you have moved a number of times, right? How many have moved at least once? I think my daughter moved 40 times in the first 5 years of her life. And I'm not kidding. They were always on the move. And this move for us was a memorial move. It was in June of 1980. There was a dramatic thing that happened. Mount St. Helens had just blown its top. Even the ashes from the volcano drifted across Saskatchewan and covered our car and vehicles. That inactive volcano became active. In 1 week, it produced a mini Grand Canyon. It stripped all the bark off a forest of trees with its massive explosions. 30 or more layers of volcanic rock and ashes piled up on those bare stripped trees. The wilderness created looked like it had been formed over thousands of years by erosion, but no, it had happened in a weekend. A stubborn resident of the mountain, a man named Harry Truman. Do you remember that name? Probably not. Anyway, Harry Truman was not the president of the United States. He just had the same name. He refused to leave the mountain, and he lost his life as a result. Other historic tragic events or catastrophes in nature, such as the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, buried the ancient city of Pompeii, and many lost their lives. There are physical events that we face. There were physical events that we faced as we moved back to Westlock. Just as we got ready to move, a storm was blowing, one like the 30s, and you couldn't see anything. It was dirt being blown, and it blew dirt right down to the subsoil, just out of Central Butte, and it blotted out the sun. Yes, there are physical storms that hit us on our way home, even on our way home to heaven. 2nd thing, the physical things that happen, there are people that may become a distraction. We had rented a home verbally, secured the rent, but when we finally were on our way to Westlock, we found out that the house that we had rented had been rented by more than one person. And so the other family ended up with the home. And we were headed home with no home to come to. Fortunately, I was put on CFOK and the trade program, and we had a home to come to. We were pretty discouraged. Can you imagine heading home with no home to come to? We've done that twice in our life. We headed to Regina in Saskatchewan, where I began studying there with no home to go to. But anyway, we were very discouraged, and we were pulling a livestock trailer with all our furniture in it. That's a great way to move, by the way. It gives you a roof over your furniture, and that's great. And so, but we were not able to travel quite as fast as we expected, and so we had to stop on the way home. And when we stopped at a hotel motel, you could wipe the dirt and dust off. that had come through the storm. And that, of course, was quite discouraging. And we could just see the home that we were going to move into, right? Well, God had a few surprises ahead. The house was a big ranch-style home. There were 1,650 square feet upstairs and 1,650 feet downstairs, all finished. There was plenty of room for our big family of five kids. And the real clincher was this. We came into the living room, and we had an unusual couch and couch set. It was olive green. Now, olive green doesn't match with many things except another olive green rug. And guess what? The house had a perfectly matching rug. Only God could do such a thing, to match a new home to our unique furniture. And my dear wife was ecstatic with joy to see something that matched, because that's one thing about my wife. She loves colors to match. Are you headed home? There are surprises, I believe, when we get there. There will be some surprises, and we won't even be able, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 9 says, to imagine what heaven will be like. It will be so amazing. So amazing. Such a wonderful change of address. And when these people that have gone ahead of us this summer, they're very much alive. Very much alive. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, "You don't understand the scriptures." Says he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He said, and he addressed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as those being alive. Are we looking forward to being fully alive when we get to heaven? Yes, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." That's a wonderful word, isn't it? Read how many times in John chapter 14, the word "you" is mentioned. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God wants us, Jesus wants us to be with him. In fact, in 2 Peter, it says, God is not willing that any should perish. Not many, but any. Okay, then why would people turn their back on God and not go to heaven? If God has cast his vote for you, why wouldn't you cast your vote for yourself and go to heaven? But will everybody go to heaven? The answer is no. And that is a sad, sad thing. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." There's not many trails up the mountain like modern religion says. And everybody who gets to the top of the mountain will not be in heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Not every road from Edmonton leads to Calgary. Not every road leads to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life." How simple can that be? And Jesus has given himself so that we can go there. I say, wow, what a wonderful place to be headed for. So there, on the road, though, there are physical distractions, there are people distractions. And if you got your finger in Matthew chapter 24, let's just read that. The disciples were really excited about Jesus. They thought that he had come to be a conquering savior. He would drive out the Romans and then set up his kingdom there on earth. But Jesus had some surprises for them. And Jesus went out and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. It must have been a marvelous building, maybe like none other has ever been built. And Jesus said to them, "Do you see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And in 70 AD, Titus the Roman general came with his army and tore the city of Jerusalem apart. They had opposed the Roman Empire, and now they had faced the wrath of Rome. And as they broke into the city, they set the temple on fire. It was engraved or inlaid with beautiful wood, but over the wood was gold. And so when the fire took off in the temple, it melted all the gold, and it ran down between the rocks. And so when Jesus said, "Not one rock will be sitting on another," it's exactly what happened. And you can't imagine the size of the stones. I was underneath the Temple Mount on a trip to Israel, and there was a stone, one stone, that was 45 feet long. It was 10 feet, either 10 feet deep or 11 feet deep, and 10 feet thick. It weighed hundreds of metric tons. We don't even have trucks that could move it today, but it was there. And those stones were all moved as the Roman soldiers gathered up the gold that had run down between the rocks. Jesus said there was some terrible times coming for Jerusalem. And then he said, there are other things that will happen before I come back. Keep reading. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name." There will be pseudo-Christs. There will be counterfeit Christ saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But it says, they must come, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. I was born in 1941, during the Second World War. I didn't have a father for 5 years because my father was in the Air Force. Wars and rumors of wars, and we have them still today, right? But we don't have to fear. And there will be famines. Are there famines? There's a terrible famine going on in Kenya today. 2.5 million people are threatened to have their life taken from them from starvation. There are pestilences. Have you heard of Ebola? There are pestilences that are on this earth. And earthquakes. I have a grandson that was liberated, in a sense, from Haiti because of the earthquake of 2008. After the earthquake, somehow the papers for his adoption and coming to Canada were finished, and he was on the plane in very, very few days. There will be earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. So there are going to be things that are going to happen. Are we prepared? Does it make us say, yeah, I don't think we're going to live on this earth forever? Praise the Lord. God has a better plan. In fact, the Bible is such an accurate, wonderful book. And get this, in Revelation 8 and 7, it says that a third of all the trees on planet Earth will be burnt up. Does that shock you? Read it for yourself. Revelation 8 and 7 says that a third of all the trees is our carbon tax going to stop climate change? No, it isn't. But there is something that can. In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. God is waiting to hear our prayers. I said, wow, that's wonderful, isn't it? Can we actually get the attention of Almighty God, who has all the power, all the wisdom, all this? We can. And he's not willing that any should perish. Wow, we have a wonderful message to share. But are we running out of time? I'm so thrilled that we have people sharing that good news. Jesus is God's son. He came to Bethlehem the first time. He kept his word, as Isaiah the prophet in 9 and 6 said. And Micah chapter 5 and tells us that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he was in a stable. He slipped into human history. He became a man. But the next time he's coming back, he won't be slipping in. He will come as a conquering king. He will come to this planet the second time, and there will be people that will be shocked. Because it says he will come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. People will be surprised. They have been carrying on business as usual. And when Jesus comes the second time, he will not come as the good shepherd. He will be coming as a righteous, worthy king. And if you want to find out what God's plan is, he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Wow. Everlasting righteousness. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Daniel chapter 9 verse 25 tells how this everlasting righteousness will come in. We should be ready, waiting, watching, working, waiting for his coming. How do we get to heaven? It's by grace. He offers it to anyone as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16. Isn't that a Sparky verse? Sparky's learned John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have. How long a life? Yeah. How long is that? It's just unending. Do we deserve it? No. Is he offering it as a free gift? Yes, he is. But he wants us to serve him in between. Because for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He has good works for us to do in reaching out to our neighbors. Anyway, let's close. But remember, focus. Where's our focus? We're focused on homegoing, right? And we want everybody to go with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your Son who endured it all, went to the cross so that we could be forgiven and taken to that wonderful place called heaven. Lord, we thank you that this world is not our home. We enjoy it. We enjoyed all the things that you have made and we see in your great creation. But Lord, we thank you that you have even a much more amazing place for us to spend all eternity with you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord bless you.